Good morning. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, down in verse 18, Jesus is giving parables about the kingdom. When we get down to verse 22, he's now traveling throughout cities and areas, preaching the gospel, teaching, and going in the direction of Jerusalem. While they're on this walk, he and his disciples, one of his disciples asks a very powerful question. Here's the question. He says, "Lord, are there few that be saved?" We would say it in our vernacular, are there only going to be a few saved individuals? And here's how Jesus answered that question. He said, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is come in, risen up, and hath shut to the door, ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know ye not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence. Thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and ye yourself thrust out." The Bible is full of promises. Positive changes. Challenges. Helpful, hopeful direction for our lives. Aren't you glad of that? But the Bible also has many passages of warning, of corrective disciplines. We must never major on one to the neglect of the other. I remind you, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. The passage we have before us is a solemn passage. It's a heart-searching passage. It's a heart-altering passage. It sounds an alarm. It breathes out warning for every person that comes to a church or walks the sidewalk of life, to every person that works in our society to every individual that, whether they have religion or not, they will face this dilemma. The dilemma of entering in at the straight gate. In Joel chapter 2, Joel is prophesying about God's coming judgment, and he cries out, "Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm." Jesus is blowing the trumpet here. He's sounding an alarm. It's not something to be taken easily or lightly. There are two things important in this passage. Number one, this passage is a picture of those who are yet unsaved. Are there few that be saved? Jesus answers a question with a statement about entering in at a straight gate. This passage is a picture of those yet unsaved. Number two, this passage is a warning to those who may think they're saved, but are not saved. Coming to church does not make you saved, any more than standing in your garage makes you a car. Doing good things does not make you saved. Giving to the church does not make one saved. So this passage is talking about those who may think they are, but are not. There's a third thing this passage conveys. And it conveys God's offer of mercy. Let me suggest to you, God is a merciful God. God's mercy is offered to every individual. That mercy is provided by what Jesus did on the cross. He went to the cross, bled and died, and rose from the dead, and now can offer you mercy, which is God giving to you what you do not deserve. It's pardon, full and free, in the blood of Christ. It's salvation. And so this morning I wanted to look at this passage. Here's the title of the message: When God Shuts the Door. When God shuts the door. The Bible says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. That word strive is an interesting word. It means to agonize over. It means to work at finding. It means to come to a place of need. And it has the picture of a great need. And so one sees the gate and strives for the gate, moves to the gate, comes to the gate. The word straight is the word that we would get our word small. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Broad is the gate, and wide is the way and many be that go in thereat. Which gate have you gone into? The broad gate or the straight gate? For many, I say, the Bible says in our passage, unto you, many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Here's the thought of that. They're seeking too late. They seek too late. They presume upon God. They think they can do what they want to do as long as they're alive, and then the last moment maybe they'll make a decision. Many shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. They've done it too late. Number one, listen to me. God does not shut the door. Listen very carefully to me. God does not shut the door without giving ample opportunity. Look at verse number 24. God does not shut the door without giving ample opportunity. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able to. People every day seek to enter in. Many seek too late. But aren't you thankful that God is a merciful God and a God of grace, and He offers ample opportunity for people to come to Christ? The Lord is not slack, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's desire is for everyone to go through the gate. He wants everyone to be saved. His salvation that came by way of the cross is offered to everyone. But let me suggest to you that everyone will not be saved. People will decide not to accept Christ. And yet God offers ample opportunity for people to be saved. He wants you to come. He longs for you to come. He's waiting for you to come. But His mercy only lasts for so long. God does not shut the door without giving you ample opportunity. How many times have you heard the gospel preached? How many times have you sat in a service like this and heard the preacher tell about Jesus and His love? Perhaps you've been to meetings where that message has been relayed to you. Perhaps you've heard that since you were a young child. Perhaps you've heard it during your school years. But there's not a person sitting here that has not been given ample opportunity. God was looking out for you, and He offers you His Son's death on the cross for your salvation. You have to take it. But as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. I would ask you, has not God been good? Has not God been right? Has not God been gracious in offering you salvation on many, many occasions? If you're here today saved, you know how that happened. You receive Christ on one of those occasions. But I'm not foolish enough to believe that everybody sitting here has made that decision. There are people sitting in churches just like this every Sunday who have never repented, who have never received Christ, who do not know today if they died they'd go to heaven. They've not come through the straight gate. And yet God has opened his heart to you and given ample opportunity for you to be saved. There's a second thing I want you to see. Number two, someday, listen very carefully to this, someday God's door of mercy will close. Let me say that again. Someday, God's door of mercy will close. Listen to verse 25 of chapter 13. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. I don't know a more powerful warning than what I just read. I don't know how to say it any more powerfully than that. But it's telling us that someday God's mercy will close. When it says the master in this illustration, the master represents God Almighty. Jesus says when God comes in, after seeing the door open so many times, so often, over so many years, he shuts the door. He's saying, in essence, God's mercy is done for you. You will not get another opportunity to receive Christ. In Genesis chapter 7 and verse 16 and the following verses, in the Old Testament, there's the picture of the ark, and Noah has gathered now everyone into the ark after preaching for 120 years. And not one person received Christ. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands came and watched him build that ark, laughed at him, mocked him, scorned him, and yet he preached the gospel and preached to those people the peril of not coming on board, of not getting in the ship. The Bible says that God shut them in. Eight people. All the animals, but only eight people got to go on the ark. God shut them in. It may be that God will shut the door of his mercy by closing your heart to the Spirit's conviction. Your heart could be hardened, and you no longer are convicted by the things that you say and do, or by the preaching of the gospel. You turn a deaf ear to God. It may be that God will shut the door because of your unwillingness to give up your life of sin. You rather live the way you're living than to receive Christ. You rather do what you're doing. You rather go in the direction you're going was talking to a man one time, and he said, well, if I got saved, I'd have to give up too much. I said, there's nothing that is more important than you being saved, and nothing that you would give up, because to receive Christ is everything. Amen. It may be that God will shut the door of His mercy. Today. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Saying no to God is taking a chance that never works out well for the one taking the chance. It always ends bad. Someday, God's door of mercy will close. Here's the third thing. Listen very carefully to this. Head knowledge and association won't help you once the door has been shut. Head knowledge and association won't help you once the door has been shut. Isn't it interesting? Lord, Lord, you've preached in our streets. We've walked with you. We've been with you. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says it this way. Now, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we not cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. But we go to church. Doesn't matter. We help others. Doesn't matter. We do the best we can. That doesn't matter, because those aren't the things that get you through the straight gate. These people talked like they were saved. Many will say. These people acted like they were saved. Have not we done? The saddest thing is, that people who think because their parents went to church and now they're going to church, so they must be saved. Or people that say, I've always believed, or I've always been a Baptist, or I've always... Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Jesus said that twice in the same text. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Without Christ, you perish. Without Christ, you don't get through the gate. Baptism doesn't get you through the gate. Being a good person doesn't get you through the gate. It's coming to Christ and realizing you needed a Savior and receiving Him as your payment for your sin. That one comes to Christ and goes through the gate. There's one last thing. Number four, no one but God knows when the door will be shut. You can speculate. We can say, well, a person that did that can't be saved. We don't know. God does. God's in charge of this, not us. God will shut the door, and He alone knows when and for whom His door of mercy will close. It's different for every individual. You cannot plan to do it when it's more convenient for you. You remember Felix? Paul was spoken to Festus. Felix wanted to listen. And Paul's preaching to him. And Felix said, at a more convenient time. When's more convenient than now, Felix? I'm telling you about the Savior, the one who rose from the dead. And Felix said, at a more convenient time. Remember Agrippa? Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul said, I were that thou wert not almost, but altogether the same as I am. Because almost won't get you there. You cannot plan to do it when it's more convenient. Number two, you cannot presume upon God and say, I will be saved when I want. After I've lived my life, after I've done these things, after I've gone the way I want, after I've gotten all the gusto I can get, then maybe I'll settle down. Maybe then I'll come to Christ. You don't get saved on your nickel. You get saved because of Christ's grace. Then there's one last thought. About God, you cannot hope that God will change His mind. When I come to those last days of my life, there's no argument you're going to use. Going to convince God that you should get in after you've rejected Him time and time again. You've heard the gospel. You've heard it preached. Have you come through the gate? Now is the accepted time. Now. Lord, this is a solemn text, a difficult thing to preach, but sometimes we need to be warned. Perhaps we need to be warned because we know many that are not saved, who are friends or neighbors or relatives. And Lord, we need to let them know. Or perhaps, Father, there's someone here today who knows in their heart that they are not saved. They have not come through the gate. They know it. Lord, help them to come through the gate. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.